This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
I was very impressed with our Arnhem Land friends when they began their contributions. They would say, my name is, and where they're from. Well, I'm Peter Stanley, I'm from the National Museum. I want to offer some closing remarks, this time without the help of C.P. Manford's Solar Topi. You might have wondered why I was here. I've been sitting in the back row basically listening, because of all the things that this symposium's talked about, Indigenous history, history of science, art, botany, ecology, ichthyology, I don't know any of that stuff. It's not my field. So I've just been sitting around listening. So it's time for me to show that I've paid attention. And I'm going to make a couple of observations. It seems to me that this symposium has been remarkable because it's bucked a dominant trend in Western knowledge. It's integrated and connected rather than boxing knowledge up into discrete things. And I think that's a characteristic of museums, to open knowledge up, and it's certainly a characteristic of this museum. I've been really struck by the fact the value of comparing, contrasting or juxtaposing European scientific knowledge with Indigenous traditional knowledge. That started with the opening ceremony on Monday night, and it's been apparent again and again. Very inclusive, very respectful exchanges between people from very different intellectual and traditions. I've got to be honest, though, I've also detected, I sense, some unresolved tensions. Ideas that, as was said today, bones shouldn't be discussed in front of women. Somebody else talked about Indigenous communities controlling scientific access to them. I think these are issues that we need to talk about. They cause discomfort to Western liberals like me. But I'm confident, though, that the kind of exchanges we've seen makes the resolution of those kind of issues much more likely, amicably too. Staying positive, I want to acknowledge, and it's been at the forefront of proceedings here, how closely Indigenous and academic speakers have been integrated into the programme, and I think the organising committee deserves full credit for this. Also reflects the museum's conviction that Indigenous belief, knowledge and experience has to be acknowledged and incorporated. Even more, it seems worth noticing that this symposium hasn't just involved scholars and members of communities, some of whom are both. Its great strength is that it's attracted and involved many other people, other groups. And that diversity, I think, has become a strength of this gathering. We've seen students of various kinds. We've seen members of families, of expeditioneers, librarians, fellow museum folk, radio broadcasters, artists, even bureaucrats. It's been a very rewarding mix of people who've taken the trouble to nourish their passion for knowledge or curiosity about the subjects that we've discussed. At lunchtime, I happened to meet Peter from Rockhampton and Deborah from the Upper Hunter, and they're inspiring. They took the trouble to come all this way to a symposium basically because they were curious about the subjects it was talking about, which I think is an enormous feather in everyone's caps. It's that kind of symposium. Now, why am I here? Because I'm an historian. So I've been reflecting on the 1948 expedition and how we might think about what it means to us today. Again and again, we've returned to the material collected by the expeditioneers, asking fresh questions, finding new meanings, seeking new connections, prompting new arguments, as Ray Specht said on the very first morning, reinterpreting. That idea has animated this conference, and how stimulating it's been in so many ways. What I think this symposium has borne out very triumphantly is the way in which the physical materials, and we've seen it displayed on the screen again and again, the collection, the heart of any museum, allows us to interpret and keep reinterpreting the world in all respects. Now, finally, I just want to say a few words about the historical significance of this expedition, again, for us. What do we make of this phenomenon that we've been talking about for 3 days? Last night, some of you may have heard Jack Thompson say that he thought 500 years doesn't seem like a very long time when you think about the Indigenous experience in this continent. Well, in that case, the 60 years that's passed since 1948 doesn't seem like a very long time at all, even though, remember what Robin Williams talked about, the enormous changes in Western science since that time. But thinking about this 1948 expedition in a larger historical time frame is illuminating. Kim Beazley placed it in a very particular historical context the other day, that Australian turn to the US in the aftermath of the Second World War. And other speakers have helped to locate it in relation to the histories of their disciplines. There's been a very interesting byplay about the tortuous history of Australian anthropology, for example. Well, I want to suggest another context, that of our developing understanding of this continent. Can I remind you that in the late 1940s, there was a balding, bespectacled historian, Charles Hope Manning Clark, who was just beginning to see the shape of a history of Australia that he would take 30 years to work through, that monumental history. And it was animated by, Clark's history was animated by the interplay or the contest in Australia of the ideas of Christianity, Catholicism and Protestantism, and the Enlightenment, Western rationality. It wasn't until later in writing that wonderful series of volumes that Clark came to realise that he'd overlooked or omitted to include an indigenous aspect, indigenous knowledge. Later on, he did incorporate some of that reference in his series, but it was pretty much bolted on. Not that that diminishes his achievement in any way. Well, how does this connect with the 1948 expedition? Well, as Ray Specht said at the very outset of this conference, the things that the expedition gathered, the things that he collected, and that ideas includes ideas as well as material, those things remained full of potential as sources for interpretation and understanding. Now, if there's any future Manning Clark around, they couldn't possibly attempt to explain Australia again without incorporating Indigenous understanding. So I think we can say that the 1948 expedition represents one of the key moments in the ways in which Australian understanding decisively shifted. That shift may have happened in 1948, but it's taken 60 years for us to see that at the end of this time, as Ad Borsboom recognised earlier this afternoon, we can now look at this phenomenon and see it in a clearer light. So we can see it now, and I need to acknowledge all of those involved in these 3 days, both on the expedition and in the reinterpretation through this symposium, that you've helped us to come to a new understanding of this continent. And for that, I thank you. I'd also like to thank everybody here for being a part of this symposium. I need to thank one person particularly, and that's Margot. And I'd ask you now to thank Margot in the traditional manner.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.